It's time now for weather with Cliff Mass and KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe.
I know to you, it might sound strange, but I wish it would rain.
Well, I guess my wishes are coming true. The rain is back. Maybe just a few April showers so far, but there's lots more rain in the forecast. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe with Cliff Mass at the University of Washington. Today, we're going to discuss how groups of amateurs appear to have more skill than the National Weather Service in forecasting. Cliff will explain the wisdom of groups in just a bit. First, let's hear more about that forecast. Pretty rainy this weekend, right?
That's right. We're going to have three rain events over the next 72 hours. The drought of March is going to be over. We start with a frontal system that's coming in right now along the coast. So certainly by 10, 11 o'clock, it's going to be raining in the South Sound. It'll move into the rest of the area. It'll be a rainy day today, and a lot of people get several tenths of an inch of rain. It'll definitely wet things down. And that first system will move out later in the afternoon. So it may actually be dry by dinner time. This system will also bring some wind. It'll get gusty, winds gusting to 10 to 20 miles per hour. Then we have a little bit of a break overnight, and then tomorrow, another system, a little stronger system, comes in. It'll be pretty much a rainy day on Saturday, maybe a half an inch of rain. The wind will pick up maybe to 20, 30 miles per hour for gusts. Then later in the afternoon, there'll be a break. And then the stronger system comes in Saturday night, Sunday morning. This could bring a half an inch to, you know, many places, even more in the mountains. There could be several inches. And that's going to be driven by an atmospheric river, one of these plumes of moisture coming out of the subtropics. So expect lots of rain Saturday night, Sunday morning. That should move through somewhere midday Sunday. So there'll be a big break Sunday afternoon. The only exception will be our old friend, the Puget Sound Convergence Zone, which will develop somewhere between Seattle and Everett, and there'll be a band of precipitation there, so showers there, and also in the mountains. So, you know, we have three systems to get through. Then, as we get into Monday, Tuesday, we should have a break. A ridge of high pressure builds in. We should dry out, and then more weather will come in later in the week. So, March was the second driest March in history. I don't think that's going to be true of April. I think we're going to be at least normal by the time all this is over.
All right, I'm ready for it. You blogged this week about the crowdsourcing of forecasts and the wisdom of groups. Tell us more about that.
Well, last quarter, I was teaching 101, and every single quarter I do this, I have a forecast contest, and I basically have all the students who want to participate make forecasts for SeaTac Airport. Now, these folks are relatively untrained. The only information they know is what they've learned in my 101 class, so they really don't have a lot of experience with forecasts. You know, they all try independently. Now, the amazing thing is at the end of the quarter, when we look at the scores, we find that a consensus forecast, which is an average of all these untrained students, does extremely well. In fact, their average forecast beats the National Weather Service. Now, that's really startling if you think about it. I mean, the Weather Service forecasters are highly trained. They've been doing it for years. They know the region. But it's impossible for them to beat a consensus of 50 to 100 students.
How do you explain that?
Well, it's interesting. I think what it is, it has to do with the wisdom of crowds. If you have a large number of people that are independently trying to do something, like trying to forecast, using the best information available to them, they look at the Weather Service forecasts and the Weather Channel forecasts. They use what they learn in class. If you get all these people independently trying to get information and you average them together, it turns out that's very hard to beat. For instance, an average of all these people tends not to have the extremes. Let's say a Weather Service forecaster may go for something. They may think something will happen that doesn't. An average tends not to do that, tends to smooth things out. And if you average forecasts from a number of sources, so these students are probably looking at all kinds of sources, if you average all those together, you know, it's really hard to beat. Now, I'm not saying these students would be better for something that's unusual or extreme. So if we had a very unusual storm, I would suspect the Weather Service folks would do better. But on average weather, and looking at this for a few months, the forecasts by the students are the best. It's really amazing.
And some other really skilled UW students made news this week. They won a national forecasting contest, the Weather Challenge.
That's right. This is something that all Huskies can be proud of. There's a national forecasting competition where departments all over the nation compete to forecast for cities all around the U.S. Well, this year, our team won. The Husky team won, the best in the country. This is a tremendous achievement. But this achievement is not only based upon the skill of the forecasters, it's also based on the technology that some of our students have developed. And one of the technologies developed by the students is machine learning or artificial intelligence to take the forecast from many different sources and use machine learning to combine these in an optimal way to make a very, very skillful forecast.
And this is the way that weather forecasting seems to be going in the future.
That's right. I mean, this is very important. You know, we spend a lot of time getting good observations and many observations from satellites and other things. We also have really good models that we've developed. But there's another stage in forecasting that people don't know about. It's called post-processing, taking all these different forecasts and observations and combining them in an optimal way to make the best forecasts. And it turns out that, you know, although humans are pretty good at this, machine learning or artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call it, is also very good. In fact, it's probably better. It's able to combine a lot of different sources of data in a way that makes very good forecasts.
Thanks, Cliff.
Sure, Bellamy.
He teaches atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington, and we talk every week at this time via Skype. You can subscribe to podcasts of our weekly conversations at our website, knkx.org. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe, KNKX News.